Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. So although we won't be continuing exactly in the chapter of Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya speaking with Ramananda Roy, the topic fits right in. We decided that because the topic is so pertinent to the flow of the chapter, that because today is Bahulastami and the appearance of Radhakund, that we would fit that topic into the flow of the chapter, even though we're reading a verse from another chapter. So we're going to read this verse today. It's actually from the Padma Purana, but it's in Madhya 18, text number 8. Yatha Radha Priya Vishnus Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopeshu Saivaika Vishnurantya Tavalabha Yatha Radha Priya Vishnus Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopeshu Saivaika Vishnurantyanta Vadava Yadharadha Priya Vishnus Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopeshu Saivaika Vishnurantyanta Vadava. Ladies? Yatha Radha Priya Vishnus Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Lokeshu Saivaika Vishnurantyanta Vadava Yatha Radha Priya Vishnus Asya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopeshu Saivaika Vishnurantya Tavalabha Yatha As Radha Srimati Radharani Priya Beloved Vishnu of Lord Krishna Tasyaha her Kundam lake Priyam very dear Tata similarly Sarva Gopishu among all the gopis Sa she Eva certainly Eka, alone, Vishnu, of Lord Krishna. Atyanta, very. Varava, dear. Translation. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, so her lake, known as Radha Kund, is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. Please repeat. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, so her lake, known as Radhakund, is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. And as you can see from the purport, this verse is from the Padma Purana. There are some topics in Krishna consciousness and life that can't be explained or figured out by experiments or by our intelligence or by our imperfect senses. We're prone to defects in trying to understand some things. And some of these topics are both historically and spiritually that of that nature. Even historically, trying to find out what happened 5,000 years ago. We don't have the instruments. We don't have, you can find out maybe something, some old bones or some artifacts that they find in the ground, and then they speculate about a culture or something like that that lived there. So, according to the Vedic conception, oral reception, hearing from authorities who were either there, have perception of another dimension, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead who created and knows everything, and hearing from him, accepting that information. Submissive oral reception. So dealing with the appearance of Radhakund, Bahulastami, today is also Bahulastami. We'll start with Bahulavan and Bahulastami. And in order to understand that pastime, we can refer to another one of the Puranas. We all know the story of Lord Varaha and how the earth planet was knocked off its axis and fell into the Garbhodaka ocean and then was lifted by Lord Varaha's tusks and put back into place because of the stealing of gold by Hiranyaksha. So after that pastime, what happened was that Lord Varaha actually had intimate personal association with Mother Earth, with Mother Bhumi. And he sat and rested at a place called Vishram Ghat. It's still in Mathura. It's on the banks of the Jamuna River. And he spoke the Adi Varaha Purana. And when he was speaking with Mother Earth, practically a good portion of that Purana is the glories of the holy place of Mathura, Mathura Mandala. It's practically like the foundation of Puranic literature, which explains what took place, what are the holy places, what is so unique. Because Mathura, being the place of Krishna's birth or appearance, is actually a replica of his spiritual abode. And he makes it manifest on earth. And it's very dear to him. He loves all the residents of that place. He loves the atmosphere. It's a place where he gets excited and inspired. So he explains all these different forests and different pastimes that took place. In the Padma Purana, however, today we'll kind of have to jump back and forth between different time periods in order to understand how it all developed to the point where we hear about it today. We know that when the pastimes of Krishna were hidden, kind of passed due to the passing of so many years and so many generations and so much time, that Lord Chaitanya wanted to revive those and sent Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis and the six Goswamis and different devotees to the Vrindavan area to again excavate those holy places, establish temples, and make it again a place of worship. So Rupa Goswami wrote a book called Mathura Mahatmya, one of the books that he wrote, in order to establish Puranically that this place is a holy place. They went Nana Shastra Vacharanaika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako. They perused the Vedic literature and found specific topics that were pertinent to their mission. And one of them is Adi Varaha Purana, Padma Purana, Skanda Purana, different Puranic literatures which explain the glories of Mathura. So the story of Bahula, a cow, is mentioned in that Purana, in the Padma Purana. Just by having a forest of Vrindavan named after you, is a glorious activity? What are the qualities? What is the characteristics? What is the nature of such a person that would have their have a forest like Vrindadevi? Vrindadevi is so active in Krishna's pastime, so unique a personality that there's a forest named after her. So Bahula was a cow in the forests of Vrindavan. Many of you have been to like Govardhan and Radhakund. As you're driving on that road from the Delhi-Agra highway, and you start to head out towards Radhakund and Govardhan, just before you get there, a couple kilometers, on the left-hand side, if you look off into the distance, you see kind of like a little hill and a village, and that's where Bahulavan is. So one time, Dharmaraj, the personality of religion, took the form of a tiger and was roaming the forests near Govardhan. And this Bahula was a good meal. So Dharmaraj approached her and was going to eat her, but somehow or another she stopped him and said, "Please, allow me to first feed my calf so that it's nourished and can live without my presence, then I'll come back and you can eat me." So Dharmaraj said, "How do I know you'll come back?" She said, "I've given my word, I'll come back after I feed my calf." So she went and fed her calf and then returned. And when she returned, the tiger revealed that he was Dharmaraj, and Lord Krishna had appeared on the scene and blessed her that she would become his wife, which is another interesting story, unique because her qualities, the characteristics of this nature, she was willing to give her life, but she was honest to the point where she would give her life. We were reading recently the symptoms of Kali Yuga. One of the symptoms in Kali Yuga is that it's a corrupt civilization. So this kind of character is probably not seen in today's world, where a person would actually give their life in order to be honest. So that's the story of Bahulavan. It's a nice village. If you do get a chance to go there, a few years ago I had a nice, beautiful day. It was today. It was Bahulastami and the appearance of Radhakund, and I went with a couple of devotees from England. And on the drive out, what we did was we started driving towards Govardhan, then turned to go to Bahulavan, and Bahulavan's back at like maybe a kilometer away from the road. But we just stopped about half a kilometer out in the field and had a picnic. Oh, it was beautiful. The wind was blowing softly. It was a little cool. You could hear that swishing. Some birds were in the trees. It was a real nice Vrindavan experience. Then we got in the car and we drove the rest of the way. And as we started getting closer and closer to Bahulavan, we could smell the village. Because what's happened in Braj is that a lot of the villagers don't have good garbage disposal, so they just take everything and throw it out on either side of the town, whichever side you live on. So that part has become pretty polluted in recent days. And there's a little temple in the town. Another unique feature in Vrindavan, in India, practically speaking, is wherever you go, you can practically walk a few kilometers from one village to another and get a whole new a sense of attraction from the different people. In Bahulavan, because the temple is one with a cow and Dharmaraj, it's a small relief temple right next to Sankarshan Kund. And the people in the town, all the people in the town are, that's the main temple, and they're all like Bahula Bhaktas. They love Bahula. They love her mood, they love that cow, and they're in that mood of just worshiping. Krishna and Balaram used to walk in the forests with their cowherd boys and herd cows there, and they're all absorbed in that wonderful pastime. So that's the story of Bahulavan, but it kind of precludes the story of the appearance of Radhakund, which is also kind of in the vicinity of a Bahulavan. So Bahulastami and the appearance of Radhakund are intimately related in that way, and it precludes it because the character of the person, the character of that living entity, qualified her to be Krishna's wife and be intimate with Krishna. And whenever we talk about Radhakund, naturally we have to take into consideration the quality of the people who live there and the intimacy. In the stories of Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, to fit it into the chapter properly, we've been reading about a steady, progressive path to more and more intimate relationships with Krishna, from Shantabhav to Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and finally the last few weeks we've been reading about Madhurya Rasa. So we can fit it in by pointing out that there is no higher intimate place for Radha and Krishna's pastimes than Radhakund. That's why it's celebrated as the most delightful atmosphere. There's a few reasons for it. One is geography. In Mathura Mandala, in Braj Mandala, if you look at it and consider Krishna's daily activities when he would live in Nandagram, Radharani was living in Varsana, and the boys would go out daily and go all over the place. I mean, Vandirvan, Badravan, Govardhan, and they would tend their cows, and every once in a while we know from the story of when Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves, that once in a while they run into the cowherd men. The older men are also, the older boys, the older brothers are also around. Now, in order to have intimacy between Radha and Krishna, there has to be a private kind of area where no adults are going to be, no older brothers are going to be, no interruptions will happen. So at Govardhan, which if you look on your Google Maps, you can see it, it's kind of real thin and long at the top near Radhakund and Shyamakund, and then it becomes somewhat thicker. And acharyas have even said that it looks like the form of a peacock, and that the two eyes are Radhakund and Shyamakund. So we'll read a little bit about Lord Chaitanya's wanting to find Radhakund in this chapter. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over Vrindavan and pleased all living entities, moving and non-moving. With his glances, the Lord took much pleasure upon seeing everyone. In this way, Lord Gauranga traveled around Vrindavan. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Gaura Chandra. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Prabhu. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya headed by Srivas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy. But when he arrived at Aritgram, his sense perception was awakened. Purport. Aritgram is also called Aristagram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that in that village, Aristasura had been killed by Sri Krishna. While there, he inquired about Radhakund, but no one could tell him where it was. The Brahmin accompanying him could also not ascertain its whereabouts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could then understand that the holy place known as Radhakund and Shyamakund were at that time lost to everyone's vision. He therefore discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund, which were two reservoirs of water in two paddy fields. Although there was very little water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient and could understand that formerly these two ponds were called Radhakund and Shyamakund. In this way, Radhakund and Shyamakund were discovered. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the local people, "Where is Radhakund?" No one could inform him, and the Brahmin accompanying him did not know either. If you remember, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but it took him a few years before he finally ended up there. And when he first arrived in Mathura, he went to the Keshava temple, where Lord Krishna appeared at Janmabhumi, and started dancing in ecstasy before the deity. And everybody was stunned and just watching him, but one person came up and started dancing with him, dancing in ecstasy before Lord Keshava. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he finally calmed down, he took that Brahmin aside and he said, "Who are you? Where did you get this ecstatic love of God that no one else here seems to be displaying?" And the old man, he said, when I was younger, I was here, and one saint was traveling around Brudge. His name was Madhavendra Puri. And I invited him to my home, and he initiated me into this ecstatic love of God. So that thread, that stream of love of God manifested, and that Brahmin knew the different places around Vrindavan and some of the holy places. So he's the one traveling with Lord Chaitanya, taking him to these places. But when they got to Aritgram, no one knew the place. So because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put such emphasis on it, therefore his followers naturally did that. And what happened was that when Rupa and Sanatan, they went the next year. Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan in 1515. And in 1516, you remember that he actually didn't meet Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis in Vrindavan. He met them in Prayag and Allahabad on his way back and forth. He met them. But he instructed them that you go to Vrindavan and you excavate these holy places. You establish the worship of the deities. You find the different kuns. You find the different places where Krishna performed these pastimes. Now, part of the culture that they had to research had been previously established by Krishna's great grandson. His name was Maharaj Vajranath, who was Krishna's principal first queen, Rukmini. And Rukmini's first son, good, Pradyumna. Everybody knows the story how he was found in the fish. So Pradyumna's son was Aniruddha. And Aniruddha's son was Vajranath. So after Krishna's pastimes had completed and Dwarka was inundated with water, the ocean, if you know the story, Krishna took a loan from the ocean in order to establish his 16,000 palaces. He took 12 miles of ocean. And after he left, then that ocean took back his territory. So Vajranath traveled to Vrindavan and established hundreds and hundreds of kuns and deities where Krishna, his great-grandfather, had performed these pastimes. So Madan Mohan, Govindaji, Gopinath, Vrindadevi, Nathji, Gopal, the deity that Madhavendra Puri found, all these deities were thousands of years old, but in the course of time they've been lost, buried, just like we know the story of Madhavendra Puri finding the deity buried in the ground. We know the story of Rupa Goswami, how the cow was come. He was trying to figure out what is this yoga pit, where is Govindaji, and the cow kept coming and dropping milk on this one place. He dug and excavated that deity. Madan Mohan was being worshipped by a family in Mathura. Sanatan Goswami found that deity. Maru Pandit found the Gopinath. So all these different deities were again revived during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So everybody knew that this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later left this world in 1533, 1534, and Raghunath Das Goswami, who had been an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya in Radhakantamat, in the Gambira, in Kasimisra's house, was feeling so distraught after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar, and Ramananda Roy left this world, that he thought, I'll go to Vrindavan, I'll jump from Govardhan and commit suicide. But when he arrived in Vrindavan, Rupa, Sanatan, Jiva Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, everybody said, no, you would spend time with Mahaprabhu, you have to tell us what those pastimes are, you please narrate them. So Raghunath Das, he stayed at Radhakund, and he would narrate daily the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he witnessed them when he was with him in Puri. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, of course, was one of the hearers of that, and he compiled Chaitanya Charitamrita from hearing there. Now in 1545, that means 12 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, there was one wealthy merchant, some texts say he was a king, and he wanted to go to Badrinath in the Himalayas and give donation to Lord Badri Narayan for his benefit. But while he was in Badrinath, he was sleeping one night, and the deity came to him in a dream and said, don't give me the donation. I have need for that in another locality. You go back, you go on the other side of Delhi to that town of Vrindavan, and you find the saint called Raghunath Das Goswami, and you tell him that I sent you, and that you want to give donation to him. Similarly, simultaneously, Raghunath Das Goswami was at Radhakund, and he knew. Now, Radhakund at that time, again, it was just some paddy field, as described here. It means rice field. Not very deep. If you go swimming in a rice field, there's hardly any water. A little bit. It was maybe a deeper one, a few feet or something. Nobody knew that it was. So he was living on the banks of that kund. There was no big town or village. Maybe nearby there was a few buildings. And he was doing his bhajan there. And one night, he started to think during his bhajan, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found this place. So many of his followers and devotees were going to want to come and bathe here. Maybe I should excavate this place and make it nice. And then immediately, due to his, we know the story of Raghunath Das from Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he became so renounced he wouldn't even eat normal food. He would go to the thrown out rice pile next to the temple at Jagannath Puri, wash that, thrown away rice, and eat that. So how renounced is Raghunath Das Goswami? He lived on just a little buttermilk every couple of days. So immediately his mind, he thought, well, my mind's playing tricks with me, it wants money to do some project. So he thought, no, I shouldn't think like this. But he had this sentiment. And the story describes that the next day, this wealthy merchant, some arpana, arrived in Radhakund and came to Raghunath Das Goswami and bowed and said, I've had a dream from Badrinarayan Bhagavan. And he told me that I should give you donation for your project. And immediately Raghunath Das thought, oh, this is serendipitous. Krishna's arrangement. So he sent word to Jiva Goswami, who was staying in Radha Damodar. And Jiva Goswami came to Radhakund. Jiva Goswami was Rupa and Raghunath's nephew. He was keeping library and keeping all the books. We know the story of Narottam, Shyamananda, and Srinivasacharya. So he purchased those paddy fields and that land. Even today, they still have this deed where Jiva Goswami purchased those. And Raghunath Das began the excavation, hired the men, got all the, they're all digging out the coin, and they actually found, what's the name of it? Kanchanakorn, which was established by Badrinath 5,000 years ago. They found this little like area that was bricked off in the paddy field, and he excavated it all nice, and as everybody knows, it's a nice rectangle there, and they completed that excavation. And then they wanted to do Shamakun. So they started to dig that out. And one night, the plan was to also make it two rectangles, one this way and one that way. But while they were excavating, one night Raghunath Das was dozing, and Maharaj Yudhisthira came to him in a dream and said that your plan is to cut down the trees on the banks in between the two kuns to make it the rectangle. But myself and my brothers are in the form of trees doing bhajan at Radhakund. So please don't cut us down. So Raghunath Das adjusted the design, and that's why Shamakund is a little bit different. There was another pastime also where they were digging, and all of a sudden blood started to come. One of the workers, you know those shovels they have in India, it's like a stick with a thing on it, and pulled it, and all of a sudden blood started coming. Oh my God. So Giriraj Maharaj came to Raghunath Das also in a vision and explained that you cut my tongue, but now you take that Shila and you establish it there and worship it. So that tongue of Govardhan is also there. So since that time, we're very indebted to Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, all those people that did the work, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. When Aurangzeb, who was the grandson, the grandson of Akbar, invaded. He was in Agra, was the Muslim city. Their fort was in Agra, and he had heard about this Hindu. He was very envious of Hindus, Muslim leader, a terrorist. So he attacked Vrindavan, but because Muslims and the Hindus were kind of closely related, word had been sent prior that you better get your deities out of the way because his army is coming and they'll destroy the temples and the deities. So when the deities were taken away from Vrindavan, the first stop was in Radhakund. So in Radhakund, they have similar temples that they have in Vrindavan. Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath, Raghuraman, Gokulananda, all the same temples are there in Vrindavan, in Radhakund, as were in Vrindavan, and then they splintered and went off in various ways. So why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu want to find Radhakund? What was so special about that particular area? Another thing that's interesting, as we head into the Krishna Leela, is that Krishna has different names, forms, qualities, and pastimes in different parts of his life. And each one of them, just like we're now absorbed in the Damodar Leela, he's a little boy, he's 2 or 3 years old. So his form, his quality, and his pastimes naturally excite what kind of mood toward him? Vatsalya Bhava. It's natural, little baby. Oh, want to take care of him, want to feed him, want to make sure he's okay. But what happened is that, and then as the boy grows, different qualities manifest in him, his body changes a little bit, and different moods start to manifest in him and in others relating to him. So if we look at the history of Arista Sura, his killing happened right before Akrura came. It's in the same chapter. It's chapter 36. It's the killing of Arista Sura, and Kamsa sends Akrura to Vrindavan. So what's happening here is he's just transferring from that young boyish nature to a little bit of youthful nature. It's a very attractive age where boys and girls are starting to really become attracted to one another, and the forces of nature are becoming more influential. There's a nice purport which describes this. Development of ages and Krishna's unique features in the different ages. The Kumara age, that's the young boys, lasts until the age of 5, Paugunda up to the age of 10, and Kaishora age to 15. From then on, one is known as Yovana. According to this statement, the Kaishora period ends at age 15. Krishna was only 11 years old when he killed Kamsa, as verified in Uddhava's words, Ekadasa Samastatra Gurati Sabalovasa. Like a covered flame, Krishna remained there incognito with Balaram for 11 years. And since Krishna and Balaram never took brahminical initiation in Brajabhumi, it was at that time of their going to Mathura that their Kaishora age began rather than ended. So it appears that Krishna's Kaishora age, when he's most attractive to the ladies, didn't appear in Vrindavan. How is that possible? This objection to the statement, to Krishna's statements in the present verse that his parents could not enjoy his Kaishora stage is based on ordinary measurement of age. Yet we should consider the following statement from the Srimad Bhagavatam. O King Parikshit, within a short time, Ram and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokul on their legs, by their own strength, without the need to crawl. Sometimes we see that a prince, even while in his Paugunda stage of life, undergoes exceptional physical growth and exhibits activities appropriate to a Kishore age. Then, what to speak of Sri Krishna, whose exceptional growth is established in the Vaishnav Toshini, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, and other works. At the age of 3 years and 4 months, Krishna displayed the qualities of a 5-year-old while spending his Kumara age in Mahavan. The period from then to the age of 6 years and 8 months, during which he lived in Vrindavan, constitutes his Pagunda stage. The period from the age of 6 years and 8 months through the 10th year, during which time he lived in Nandagram, constitutes his Kaishor age. Then at the age of 10 years and 7 months, on the 11th lunar day of the dark fortnight in the month of Chaitra, Krishna went to Mathura, and on the 14th day there, he killed Kamsa. Thus, Krishna completed his Kaishor age, period, at age 10, and this certainly, and he eternally remains at that age. In other words, we should understand that from this point on, Krishna remains forever Kaishor. So, during this pastime of Aristasura, although he's younger, he's actually in the Kaishor period. So, the pastimes, and when he's a little boy, like a little boy, he's not playing with the gopis when he's out in the forest. But what happened was later on, as he started to get older and got a little more frisky in that realm, then he started to relate with them in this way. So let's read a little more about the appearance of Radha Kund specifically from chapter 36. Sukadeva Goswami said, "The demon Arista then came to the cowherd village, appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump. He made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hooves. Aristasura bellowed very harshly and pawed the ground. With his tail raised and his eyes glaring, he began to tear up the embankments with the tips of his horns, and every now and then passed a little stool and urine. My dear king, clouds hovered about the sharply horned Aristasura's hump, mistaking it for a mountain. When the cowherd men and ladies caught sight of that demon, they were struck with terror. Indeed, the strident reverberation of his roar so frightened the pregnant cows and women that they lost their fetuses in miscarriages. The domestic animals fled the pasture in fear. O king, at that, and all the inhabitants rushed to Lord Govinda for shelter, crying, 'Krishna, Krishna!' When the Supreme Lord saw the cowherd community distraught, fleeing in fear, he calmed them, saying, 'Do not be afraid.' Then he called out to the bull demon as follows, 'You fool! What do you think you're doing, you wicked rascal, frightening the cowherd men and women and their animals, when I am here just to punish and corrupt miscreants like you?' Having spoken these words, the infallible Lord Hari slapped his arms with his palms, further angering Arista with a loud sound. The Lord then casually threw his mighty serpentine arm over the shoulder of a friend and stood facing that demon. Thus provoked, Arista pawed the ground with one of his hooves, and then, with the clouds hovering around his upraised tail, furiously charged at Krishna, pointing the tips of his horns straight ahead and glaring menacingly at Lord Krishna from the corners of his bloodshot eyes. Arista rushed toward him at full speed like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra. The Supreme Lord Krishna seized Aristasura by the horns and threw him back 18 steps, just as an elephant might do when fighting a rival elephant. Thus repulsed by the Supreme Lord, the bull demon got up and, breathing hard and sweating all over his body, again charged him in mindless rage. As Aristasura attacked Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna seized him by the horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. The Lord then thrashed him as if he were a wet cloth, and finally yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck him with it until he lay prostrate, vomiting blood, profusely excreting stool and urine, kicking his legs, rolling his eyes about. Aristasura thus went painfully to the abode of death. The demigods honored Lord Krishna by scattering flowers upon him. Having thus killed the bull demon, Arista, he who is a festival for the gopis' eyes, entered the cowherd village with Balaram. After Aristasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. And this is how Sukadeva Goswami continues his narration. He never tells the story of Radha Kunda. So naturally, Lord Chaitanya's followers are wondering, where does that come from? And again, we're indebted that they did such research. And in the purport to that verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes 20 verses from the Puranas. In 20 verses, the Puranas describe how Radha Kunda and Shama Kunda appeared after the killing of Aristasura as a result of a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna. Radha said, "O sinful killer of the bull, do not touch me today." Krishna replied, "Oh, you foolish woman, this was not a bull, but a terrible demon disguised as a bull." One thing to note, although we read that the Rasa Leela took place at Vamsivat, it's not that it just stayed there. Once Krishna started to dance, and all the demigods, I mean, this was a major festival. This was millions of gopis with Krishna that lasted the light of Brahma. So they didn't just stay in one little location. They went all over the place. There's one beautiful kund called Chandrasarovara in Govardhan. And it's described in the Bhagavatam that during the Rasa Leela, the moon became so stunned that he just stopped to watch. It didn't even move in the sky. So that Chandrasarovara is there. And the gopis used to go all around Govardhan in different places while they were dancing. The Rasa dance moved all over in different areas around the forests. So it's described that Aristasura was killed in the late afternoon, and that this pastime took place later that evening, when Krishna was desiring. He snuck out, the gopis snuck out, now he wants to Rasa dance, he wants to enjoy, and Radharani is telling him no. Radha says, "Krishna, that may be true, but even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow. So you will have to now undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing the demon Vitrasura, who was a Brahmin." Krishna, "O Radha, what should I do to atone for this act?" Radha said, "You can purify yourself by bathing in every single holy place all over the world. Why should I have to wander throughout the universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath with them. Just watch." Saying that, Mukunda struck his heel into the ground to make a hole and said, "Come here. Then all the holy waters in the universe and their presiding deities came there along with the Bhogavati River, who came from Vatala region in the lower parts of the universe." Krishna said, "Hey, Sakis, behold the holy waters." But the gopis couldn't see this and didn't believe Krishna's words. Then those best of the holy places, joining their palms in supplication, revealed themselves and came forward. "I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am Amara Dirghiha. I am the river Sona. I am Sindhu. I am the Tamrapani. I am the holy place Pushkar. I am the river Saraswati. We are the Godavari, Jamuna, and Reva rivers, and the confluence of the rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Krishna became quite arrogant and said, "I have made one lake containing all the various holy places, but none of you have performed such pious work." Hearing this, Radha said to her friends, "Now I must create an even more beautiful lake. Go to work and construct one with great care." West of Krishna's kund, where Arista's hooves had made a hole, the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in a short span of 48 minutes made a beautiful divine kund. Astonished to see the lake the gopis produced, Krishna thought of enjoying rasa and said, "O lotus-eyed Radha, please take some of the holy water from my kund and fill up your kund." "No, no, no, no. This is impossible, since the water of your lake is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing the cow. My countless sakis will bring billions of pots of pure water from Manasi Ganga at Govardhan to fill up my kund. By this, my fame will spread throughout the entire universe." At that time, Sri Krishna gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all those holy places. suddenly that person arose up from out of Krishna's kund and bowed down to Vrishabhanu Nandini. With folded hands and tears in her eyes, she began to offer praises. O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories, nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the best of men, can understand them, and thus he feels obliged to personally wipe the perspiration from your limbs when you are fatigued. Krishna is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and yavaka, and decorated them with ankle belts. Krishna rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by serving your lotus feet. On Krishna's orders, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent lake which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance will the tree of our desire bear fruit. Being satisfied with the praises spoken by the representative of all the holy places, Radharani said, "So kindly tell me your desire." The holy places clearly stated their desire. Our lives will be successful if we can enter your coin. This is the boon we pray for. Glancing at her beloved from the corner of her eyes, Vrishabhanu Nandini replied with a smile, "Yes, please enter my corner." Radha Sakis all agreed with her decision and became immersed in an ocean of happiness. Indeed, all moving and non-moving creatures became enlivened. Thus, gaining the mercy of Radha, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Krishna Kund forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kund with their waters. Krishna said, "O most beloved, may your kund become famous in this world as mine. I will come here daily to bathe and enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, your kund is as dear to me as you are." Radharani replied, "Yes, I will bathe daily in your kund as well, even though you may kill hundreds of arrested demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this kund, which is on the spot where you chastise Aristasura, and who bathes or resides here, will surely become very dear to me." So, another little antidote. Hearing about the appearance of Radha Kund, Purnamasi ecstatically called Vrindadevi, the presiding goddess of the Braj forests, and told her to plant various trees and vines on all four banks of the Kund. According to her own wish, Vrindadevi also had jeweled and pearl ghats, or bathing places, built that were suitable for Radha and Krishna's pastimes, with stairs that led down into the Kund. She arranged for beautiful kunjas to be laid out with different kinds of trees, vines, and flowers. On both sides of the ghat, she had charming wish-fulfilling kalpaviksha trees planted. Singing male and female parrots, pigeons, cuckoos, and peacocks are always sitting on the branches of these trees, and the kunds are filled with golden, yellow, green, red, blue, and white lotus flowers. On all four sides of the kunds are the enchanting abhors of Lalita, Vishaka, and the other sakis. This Sri Radha Kund is the place where Sri Radha Madhava have their most confidential, eternal, midday pastimes. So in the Astakaliya Leela, the midday pastimes are performed there. One beautiful one that's famous was that every day when he's out herding cows, Krishna makes arrangements around midday to go away from his cowherd boys and friends and meet with the gopis at Radha Kund. That's why it's even geographically, it's kind of out of the way. It's a quiet place where they can perform these pastimes. So they were enjoying in the water and they got into splash fighting. And Radharani didn't want to splash too hard because she knew that that would bother Krishna's face and eyes and everything like that. But Krishna, he gets so overwhelmed by the game that he wants to win that he was splashing very heavy. And he splashed so much water on Radharani that her eyes started to sting and she looked away and he said, I win. So then she has to give him kisses. But it's described that not even the parrots sang the glories of his victory because of the way that he won. God, so this is the appearance of Radha Kund and Bahulastami. Any other comments or questions? Jai. Sri Bahulastami Radhakund Ki Jai. Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.